Good to see you, buddy.
Biddy biddy bop.
Room Radio is back on the air, motherfuckers. My name is Darian. I am back for another week of horror bullshit. I got TV, I got movies, I got books, video games, I got a tattoo or two to tell you about. I got my main man Buddy in the house.
Hey, what's going on?
Buddy is back, everybody!
Yes,
what's
I'm
going
back.
On, big fella?
Oh, man.
It's good to see you outside of the warehouse for a change.
Right?
What's new with you, man?
Just been working a lot.
Just working.
Working.
Well, I hope it's adding up to a sizable retirement fund.
Yeah. Me too.
You don't sound convinced, sir.
No.
Oh,
I'll let you know, but it might be a decade or
95,
two.
95. Yeah. I can finally retire.
Yeah, that's right. Find myself at Walmart. You didn't know. You'll know it didn't go too well.
Oh, shit. Hello.
Hello.
I need help with that bag.
Can I check a receipt?
That's messed up, man.
You know, speaking of checking your receipts, I don't even know why they have that at Walmart. Because you go check out, and it says, would you like a receipt? There's been times where I hit no, because I don't like having receipts.
Right. It's a waste.
And then they say, hey, I need to see a receipt. I'm like, I hit no over there. No. It's like, well, next time check yes. It's like, well, next time make sure there's not an option to choose yes or no.
Why would you even say that? Don't give me the option of not doing it.
Right.
I could just walk in here, steal a bunch of shit, and be like, I hit no. See ya.
I know. It's like, really?
That's dumb.
It really is.
That is a dumb thing. you fucker. Mm-hmm. Well, we got a regular horror show to get into here, buddy.
All right.
We got horror news, listener mail, all kinds of fun things. How about we start things off with a little horror news, you maniac?
Oh, yeah.
Horror news.
What do you got there, guy?
Are you ready for a brand new Easter horror movie?
You know I am.
Yeah? All right. Easter, Bloody Easter.
Okay.
Is getting ready to come out. Available for rental on VOD outlets.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be very good.
Well, I mean, what are we talking about? Like a killer Easter bunny?
All right, so here's the synopsis.
Oh, boy.
The film follows Jeannie, who, after discovering her husband missing and his car wrecked with blood and fur, embarks on a journey with her friend Carol to uncover the truth behind the town's dark legend of the killer jackalope.
Jackalope.
A shape-shifting human rabbit hybrid that terrorized the area a century and a half ago. Now Jeannie and Carol must team up with professional bunny slayer Megan to save their small Texan town on the eve of celebrating Easter Palooza and stop the jackalope once and for all.
Professional bunny slayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a title for that.
Of course there is.
Yeah.
I want to see the business card.
Right? Yeah, they're even thinking about making a part two if this does well.
No, it's not going to do well.
No, I don't see that happening at all.
It's dumb as shit. Jackalope. Get the fuck out of here.
I know, shape-shifting.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right, did you ever see Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead?
Of course.
Yeah, there's a remake coming out now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a new take on it.
And all right.
It's going to be heading to theaters April 12th.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's
actually a trailer out for that.
All right. I don't think I need that in my life. The first one was fine.
Yeah, first one
we'll
was good.
We'll just leave it there.
Right?
God.
I remember Winnie the Pooh, that Blood and Honey?
Yes.
They're making a part two.
Oh, it's they already made it.
So it is, it's going to hit the screen in theaters March 26th to 28th.
Yeah, they're trying to make a Pooniverse.
A Pooniverse?
Yeah, it's going to be an extended universe that's going to include Vampire, Tinkerbell horror project, and like three or four other Disney horror adaptations.
Wow.
And all in one expansive universe. Sounds
silly.
Silly, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right, that's all I got. What do you got?
Oh, dude. What do we got here? It looks like Imaginary. Have you seen that one yet?
I want to say I have.
You probably saw the trailers. Kid has an imaginary friend. It ends up being like some kind of a killer teddy bear from the looks of it.
Yeah.
It's hitting VOD later this week, if you're interested. It looked fine.
Yeah, I'm not, like a kids type horror movie.
I mean, it looked like it had a very Five Nights at Freddy's vibe. For it. What else we got here? This new Killer Clowns from Outer Space video game.
Yeah,
is going to have a female clown option.
Oh,
I don't think there were any female clowns in the movie.
I don't think
there?
So.
Until the end, what the two horny guys? They like walked off with some female clowns, didn't they? The ones in the ice cream truck? It's been a while since I've seen that.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think there was, but I could be wrong. Anyway, that's something exciting for all you clown pervs.
Right?
Beat off to this one. Why not?
In a mini skirt, probably.
Yeah. Ridiculously oversized breasts, I'm sure. Yeah. What else we got here? Trailers are up for The Penguin, starring Colin Farrell.
Ooh.
So this is going to be a spinoff of the Robert Pattinson Batman, right? Yep. I think I'm Batmaned out, dude.
Yeah, I'm a lot of those out.
I get it. I mean, how many fracking Batmans do we need?
Mm.
You got your Pattinson, you got your Bale, Keaton, Clooney, Kilmer, Affleck. It just goes on and on. I think we need like a 25-year hiatus from Batman.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the best thing for us right now.
Right.
Let us flush it all out of our systems and then start over with a new one and be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Not that anybody's listening to me ever.
Wait a century. That way we're all dead and then come out with new ones.
Let our great grandkids enjoy a new Batman.
Yeah.
Without being bogged down with all this crap.
That's right.
What else we got here? Are you ready for another Fear Street movie, my friend?
Yeah, I saw this. I think it'll be good.
It looks interesting.
I like the Fear Street trilogy.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Fear Street Prom Queen has made cast announcements.
Nice.
Some familiar faces coming back from the 2020 franchise.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, me too.
I need to. I need to see a physical copy of those movies, though.
Yeah.
That's the problem. They were straight to Netflix, so.
Mm-hmm.
God damn if they're going to put out a Blu-ray.
Now, what I'm wondering is Prom Queen going to be another set of three? Like, are they going to go Prom Queen and then a couple others?
No details yet.
Because if they do, then I could wait for a box set and get all six.
That would be nice, but we'll probably never see that either.
Yeah, probably
not. I got a guy on Etsy that can do it for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's doing all the American Horror Stories for me right now.
Nice.
Yeah, buddy.
Very cool.
What else we got here? Thanksgiving. John Carver's Carving Board Game is now available.
Whoa.
Or it's actually available for pre-order. Just go to stopthekiller.com. $50. I'm taking a stand on this one. I'm not going to do it, buddy.
No?
No, I'm not. I got too many motherfucking board games. I don't know how to play half of them.
Yeah, I get that.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to figure this one out. I open up the instruction book. It's like reading the Sunday Times.
Right.
It's just page after page after page. This after, you know, fuck.
Yep.
No, I'm not doing it. Give it up on the board game.
I'll try this another day.
Yeah.
I don't got 2 hours to figure it out.
I need to take a nap after just pulling it out of the fuck. I got the Dead by Daylight board game. It took two guys and a small child to back the fucking thing in here. It's huge. Came with like four boxes, miniatures, all that shit.
Oh, wow.
I did figure that one out. That one's actually pretty fun.
Hmm.
All right, man. That's all we got on the horror news. How about some listener mail coming at us?
Oh, yeah.
Listener mail.
Oh, what do we got here? No emails this week. Looks like we got some voicemails, though.
Wow.
All right, let's kick things off with our main man in Alabama. Here comes Alan.
Hey, Alan.
Padded room. What's up?
What's up, Alan?
Everybody's doing good. It's another solo show. That's fine.
All right.
Anyway, Meat Hook.
Yeah.
Black and white movie.
What do you think?
I'm going to go Night of the Living Dead.
Of course.
Paxson.
Paxson.
And Bela Lugosi's Dracula. There's just something about that movie I love.
I love
anyway,
that.
I have no idea who Mr. Darien is.
It's a hard one.
The movie sounds crazy.
It's interesting.
That's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Very cool. Thanks for calling in, Alan.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a movie called Paxson?
No.
It's a silent film, if I recall correctly, and it's basically like a documentary before there were documentaries about witchcraft.
Hmm.
But it's from like the fucking 20s, I think, or something like that.
Nice.
So it's watch. If I remember right, it's only like 35 minutes long.
Right.
But yeah, there's some really creepy like imagery with the old school shadow stuff.
And very cool.
Floating around shit.
I definitely want to check this out.
It's out there. I'll dig it up for you.
Hmm.
Right on. Thanks for calling in, Alan.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to get the Who is Darien this week.
Mm.
It's an obscure movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I every now and then I got to throw in a hard one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's what she said. Hey-o!
Yeah, every now and then. Not all the time, but every now and then you got to get that thing up and running. Let's see. Here comes Mr. Tom Hardy.
Hey, Tom Hardy.
Hey-o. Padded room. How's my favorite degenerate this week?
Hey, we're here.
I do hope everyone is doing well. Hey, I wanted to get in real quick.
Yeah.
Don't even know if I made the time.
You did.
Wanted to get in on the Meat Hook there, the black
and white.
Black and white.
What do you think?
Yeah, that guy was going through. I just don't think there's a whole lot that, you know, really ranks high, but as far as just black and white flips go. You know what put me down for number three? The Invasion of the Body Snatchers,
the original one.
Hmm. I don't know why. I really like that flick.
Sure.
I think I even like it more than the 70s one.
Yeah.
Number two's got to be Psycho.
Psycho,
God, it's such a good flick. And then number one, of course, I think you're right, Night of the Living Dead. Mm. Can't be anything else. What are you looking at, department? I got to catch
what do you got?
Movie X. Haven't seen that flick before.
Oh.
I thought it was pretty good.
It's a good show, right?
I don't know. There was a lot of people really talked it up. I thought it was good.
I loved
Maybe
it.
Maybe not as good as everyone else says it was, but hey, it was a good, fun flick, man.
Sure.
God, I felt like I knew who you were on the educating department. Now I'm fucking forgetting it. Anyway. Oh, one last thing. The Werewolf Athletics Department.
Ooh.
We did our yearly Baker to Vegas. Challenge Cup Relay.
How'd that go?
Got my 5.5 in.
Look
and,
at you.
Wow. Fuck me, that sucked. Anyway, hope
get
all
used
is
to
well.
It.
Love you like family. Bye.
Love you too, Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, amigo.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, off the top of your head, what is your favorite black and white horror film?
My favorite's Psycho.
Psycho?
Yeah.
I get that.
And did you know that in Psycho, the toilet flush scene, that was like one of the first toilet flush scenes in a movie?
I was not aware.
Yeah. I actually found that out today.
I don't even know that I recall a toilet flush scene in Psycho.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a weird like trivia. We do this trivia thing at work.
Yeah.
Like every day there's like a random, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And that was actually one of them. I'm like, oh, that's perfect. Because that's actually on my list of my three.
Oh,
and
there
it's
you
number
go.
One.
Okay.
Yeah.
First time you ever seen a toilet flush.
Yeah.
Look at you.
On national TV with Psycho.
I was just thinking, I really wish we could see more toilets flushing around here.
Yeah, right?
Now I know where to go. That's good toilet knowledge here, buddy.
Hey, you're welcome. This is what I'm here for.
You nailed
just
it.
Flush it away.
Right on. I'm not going to tell you who I was last week, Tom Hardy, because, you just have to wait till we get to that part of the show, don't you, son of a gun? In the meantime, that's all we got in the listener mail there, buddy. You ready for a movie?
Yeah, let's do it.
Last summer, after the crowds left, five strangers returned to the woods to uncover the truth. But one of them has a secret that will unlock the curse.
Now, if you don't witch, then why the hell did you bother to come?
I thought the movie was cool.
This fall, just in time for Halloween, The Witch is back. On October 27th, forget everything you've heard. Forget everything you've seen. Because this time, the truth is scarier than fiction.
A brutal murder in the Black Hills discovered today. In the past year, the Black Hills area has been overrun with movie fans wanting to get a glimpse of where the Blair Witch Project was filmed.
Blair Witch 2, buddy.
Yeah.
Book of Shadows from the year 2000. This thing only got 4 stars.
Really?
Yeah, that's it. 4 stars.
Although, you know, I did like this more when it came out.
Yeah.
And after rewatching, I'm like, it wasn't as good as I remember.
I get that. I actually like it more than when it... I was pretty pissed off when it first came out.
Yeah?
Because I was expecting another Blair Witch Project. You know what I mean? Okay. This is something completely different.
Yeah, it is.
It's directed by Joe Berlinger, written by Daniel Myrick, stars Jeffrey Donovan, Erica Leershin, and Kim Director. It's got an R rating. So there's a lot to unpack here. But before we get into this... You know how hard it is to find a Blu-ray of this movie?
No.
It is not easy.
Okay.
I got one, but I had to get the Portuguese version.
Really? But,
no, it's I think it's Spanish. It's Libre de los Hombros.
Okay.
And then you just put the English audio on and it's just like it's you're just watching it the regular way, but still. That's where I had to go to get my Blu-ray copy cuz I'm dedicated, buddy.
Yeah.
You see that?
Whatever it was that you just said, you should just say that to all the ladies.
Libro de los hombros.
Their panties will drop.
You think so? Yeah? All right. It's going down. excuse me, miss. Libro de los hombros. Well, it just worked on Buddy. So, a couple of cool things about this. When this came out in the movie theaters, obviously, when it made its way to VHS... there was a cool little marketing gimmick called the Curse of Esrever. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
So this is before DVDs, or before DVDs were as readily prevalent as they are now. You watch the movie on VHS. Mm-hmm. At the end of the movie, there was like a little bonus thing after the credits. And you would basically kind of get like a little backstory about the Blair Witch and then... There would be like a voiceover saying that this movie, this film was cursed by the curse of Esrever. Esrever is reverse backwards.
Right.
And basically what they did was, is pretty cool actually. They tried to convince you that the Blair Witch was trying to send you a message through the movie.
Oh.
So there were words hidden in the movie. And you had to go and look for the words.
Hmm.
Like, I can only spot like two. You can find the whole fucking thing on YouTube now.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it'll run you through exactly what they were doing. But like, one of them was like when they're walking through the cemetery and Kim Director is laying on the tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
As they're walking towards the tombstone, the name on the tombstone says something. And then when you're looking down at her and she's looking up at Jeffrey, it says something completely different for a second. And then it goes back to whatever it said before.
Oh, wow.
So that happens like 6 or 8 times in the movie, and you basically put a little sentence together.
Oh,
and
it says,
drink more Ovaltine.
Really?
No.
I was like, wow.
No, it doesn't.
That's terrible.
It doesn't say that. It was something cryptic and witchy, I'm sure. But it's kind of a cool little marketing gimmick that they did there. So that's cool. The other thing is, and this is something I like a lot about this movie, if you watch it carefully... It never acknowledges the first movie as a work of fiction.
Right.
So they never say that the kids were actors.
Right.
They never say, you know, whether or not they found the kids or, you know, how the movie did at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
They just, they reference the movie.
Yeah.
But as it was released in the movie theaters as a crime documentary kind mm-hmm. of a thing. So you can take that for what it is, but I can dig deeper, buddy.
Oh, yeah?
And I will here in a second.
All right.
So let's get to the movie here. We start off with Kurt Loder. Remember yeah. Kurt Loder? Yeah. MTV News?
Uh-huh.
Wonder if he's still alive. Yeah. I'm Kurt Loder with MTV News. In this week.
Yep.
I always thought he was kind of weird, but that's just, you know, a callback to our youth, oh, really. Yeah. He always had like that skater cut, uh-huh. skater haircut, but he wasn't a skater. He was a news guy.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys were like actual journalists, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anybody ever took them seriously because MTV.
Right.
That was back when they showed fucking music videos, yeah. dude.
Downtown Julie Brown.
Yeah. Fuck. Old as shit, buddy. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, we start off with like this montage of the Blair Witch Project, box office success, you know, Conan O'Brien talking about how the movie scared the piss out of him. Jay Leno talking about a few things. Just like a little montage of like clips referencing the Blair Witch Project. But again, it's never referenced as a work of fiction. And then we cut to Burkittsville, where all this fanfare has been created. And people are going there and they're buying rocks from the locals
yeah.
and sticks. To be honest with you, I probably would too.
Yeah.
This is my yep. Burkittsville stick, man. Check it out. I paid either... 35 bucks for it. It's a bunch of fucking sticks.
Yeah. I can either make my own or I could buy one that's already like
I'm just
a real
gonna,
thing.
I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah.
That's way too much effort. Anyway, there's like, you get the vibe that like a lot of the locals are kind of pissed off about the Blair Witch Project because they got all these screwheads running around their mm-hmm. quiet little town. But then there's like some other people there that have like opened up shops, little Blair Witch souvenir.
Got to make money you know. Somehow.
Fucking A, man.
Yeah.
Burkittsville.
Yeah.
That place is on the map now. I guarantee you it was not before the Blair Witch Project.
Right.
Fucking jerk offs. So that's basically how. And then they talk to some of the tourists. Oh, yeah, I wanted to come here because the movie was cool. And eventually one of the guys that they talk to is a dude named Jeffrey. And you get kind of the feel right off the bat that he's not playing with a full deck. He's played by Jeffrey Donovan. We know mm-hmm. him. We love him. Burn Notice. Various bit parts here and there. He's got a very recognizable face. I think he was in that shockingly disturbing and disgusting movie about...
Oh,
what was
yeah.
that? Vile and Disgusting and Gross?
Yeah, it was a long title.
It was the Ted Bundy movie mm-hmm. with Zac Efron. Anyway, he kind of bobs in and out of this little montage as he's like, oh, you know, the people come up to me and they're like, you know, I know it's real, man, and I know too, and then they hug me and they squeeze me and I squeeze them back and they're like, yeah, man. And I'm like, yeah. And just, you know, yeah. And as he's talking, we cut to an actual, like, Montu getting into his back character. He spent some time in a mental institution where a very laissez-faire doctor was smoking cigarettes and forcing a tube down his nose and seemingly dumping Elmer's glue into his nasal cavity.
Right.
Which is gross.
Yeah.
I don't know why we would have to do that. And stop fucking smoking while you're doing it, man.
Right.
Hey, put the butt out and then put the Elmer's glue in my nose or whatever.
Yeah.
I hope that was Elmer's glue. Could have been a lot of things. Could have been a lot of things there, buddy. I'm going to put it right in your nose.
Yeah, in your nose hole.
Oh, God. Nasty, dude. And then we're going to cut to where our actual story is going to pick up. Now, as we walk you through this story, we're going to get intermittent snippets of, like, random violence by campfire. Like a head being hit with a rock. Somebody getting their hands tied together, like a limp hand falling with blood on it. And it's not going to make a lot of sense to the end, but we're just going to get hit with that throughout the movie. We're going to pick back up with our buddy Jeff. He's being interrogated by the police now, and we can tell some time has passed because he's got a full head of hair.
Mm-hmm.
During the initial montage, he had like a shaved head thing going on.
Yeah.
So that's cool, and they're like, hey, what the hell's going on? And he's like, you tell me. You need to charge me something or let me go. And then we're going to pick up with our new story, and that's going to be kind of the narrative of where we are. We have Jeffrey. He's driving a van that is camouflage, and it's kind of like a Mad Max van, but it's got Blair Witch Hunt stenciled on the side.
Yeah.
And he's operating like a tour business, showing people the sights through the Black Hills of where the historical Blair Witch stuff happened. So mm-hmm. again, we're not referencing the first movie as a work of fiction. We're referencing it as a movie, but not necessarily the kids as actors or, you know, any of the backstory of the Blair Witch as being fiction. So that's great. I like that. That kind of makes it canon.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we're going to meet some of the people that have fallen for this Blair Witch hunt. We have Tristan Schuyler and her boyfriend, Steven. They are visiting from Michigan, and they're writing a term paper on the Blair Witch and the phenomenon attached to her. And then we also have a practicing Wiccan played by Erica Learshan. You recognize her at all?
She looked really familiar, but I couldn't place her.
Texas Chainsaw Remake. A handful of low-budget horror movies.
Yeah.
Nothing that great. She looks pretty good, though. Or at least in 24 years ago, she did.
Yeah.
I thought she did.
Hmm.
No? Buddy says no. You don't like redheads?
No, I don't know.
Too skinny?
I
get it. She's very athletic.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, why was this rated R? She looks like a dude out there.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Like completely flat.
Well, she didn't have the biggest breasts, but they were there. They were there. I saw them. Those were definitely female breasts. You look like a dude. How dare you? Who's this naked guy running around?
I know, right? With long hair. Yeah. Am I watching Silence of the Lambs? I fuck me.
What kind of fruitcake is this? Guy's dancing around a tree and stuff.
Backwards.
So that's great. Now we got to go pick up our 5th member of the group. She's been in contact via email, and they arranged to meet her at the Burkittsville Cemetery, where she's going to join the tour. They get to the cemetery. It's the Burkittsville Cemetery that we know and love from the Blair Witch Project.
Mm-hmm.
They get there, and they find her laying on one of the tombstones. Now, if you watch closely, you'll see the name on the tombstone is Treacle, and that is a reference to Eileen Treacle, who was the girl from the 1920s, that drowned in the creek there in Burkittsville.
Mm.
You get all this information from the mockumentary. What was it? Blair Witch? Search for the Blair Witch or something? The sci-fi one?
Oh, very cool.
Which I've studied extensively.
I bet.
I have. Done the research.
You've done everything but gone to Burkittsville.
Huh? I don't know that I want to go there.
No?
I've looked at it online. It looks like a shithole. Be honest. It looks kind of like... I don't know, Winnemucca, but with trees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know. So Winnemucca has casinos and stuff. They don't have casinos. All right.
Anyway. So it looks absolutely nothing like it.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's got trees and no casinos, so yeah, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. All right, anyway, they pick her up. She's all gothed out, and she claims to be psychic. Kim Director, she's pretty hot.
Yeah, you know, when... I could have swore it was Rose McGowan at first.
She's got a Rose McGowan look.
Yeah,
about her.
And then I was looking for her name. I'm like, oh, shit, this isn't her at all. No. I was like, gosh, she looks completely different. Well, that's because it's a different person.
It's a different person, buddy.
Yeah, and I think Rose McGowan is way hotter.
Than Kim Director?
Yeah.
And Kim Director has bigger boobs.
Hmm.
She's got a pretty good rack. She was in another movie called Inside Man with Clive Owen.
Oh, and then yeah. Bank.
And like the whole purpose of her character... was just to be there and have big boobs.
Nice.
And, like, get everybody to look at her boobs.
Huh.
Yeah, but that was like part of the bank heist thing, is that they would confuse her with other people. No, the girl with the boobs. That's a whole thing. I'm not going to bog you down with that. Anyway.
All right.
They pick her up, and they're on their way. So they stop and get like a lot of booze. And Jeffrey brought weed, and it's going to be a party is what's happening here. They get to the drop-off point. We get a little snapshot of the people of Burkittsville. They don't want anything to do with any of this shit, and they're like giving the our tour group the stink eye as they walk through the convenience store. You can tell that they've had about enough of this shit.
Oh, yeah.
And but at the same time, you got to imagine the Blair Witch Project brought a lot of fucking money to Burkittsville, right? From what I hear, like the Welcome to Burkittsville sign has
been... Yeah, but I'm sure it was rowdy too.
I'm sure. Bunch of knuckleheads.
Yeah. As they're going in there buying stuff, it's like, oh, that only lasts so long.
Dude, I mean, I've been to horror conventions, buddy. The level of body odor that can permeate one like convention space.
Especially if they're out there camping.
Oh, fuck that.
It's like Burning Man.
Yeah, except these are a bunch of dipshits out in the woods. But yeah, at least Burning Man is on the playa. It's flat and you can see everything. Yeah.
Then all the places close their car washes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nope. Not bringing that shit here.
Get the fuck out of here. You're going to clog up our drains. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, so they get a bunch of booze and Donovan already has weed. Mm-hmm. And then they get to the drop off point where they unload all their equipment. Now, Jeffrey is bringing like at least a good $5,000-$6,000 worth of video recording equipment and sound equipment.
He's got a lot.
And all this stuff because he wants to get a Ellie Kedward sighting on tape. So their first stop is the ruins of the Rustin Parr house. Do you remember that from the first movie? Okay. So they get up there. It's a bunch of, you can tell it was like once some kind of a log cabin type of situation. It's a bunch of rocks and like a loose layout of what was probably a cabin.
Mm-hmm.
They get there, they start setting up, and then Tristan is like, hey, what's up with this giant tree in the middle of the house? He's like, what are you talking about? He turns around, this giant tree there, and he's like, I've never seen this tree before in my life. Right. They all think he's full of shit. But he's like, come on, seriously, who would build their house around a giant tree? It'd be shooting right up through the bedroom, which is a good point. And they, again, think he's full of shit. But from there, we get kind of like a cool little party montage of them just getting drunk and having dipshit conversations. Jeffrey is clearly trying to get in the pants of both Kim and Erica at the same time. Erica's doing a lot of bitching about not being taken seriously as a Wiccan. And Kim is doing a lot of bitching about people thinking she's a freak because she chooses to dress like a vampire all the time. Steven and Tristan are kind of like going back and forth because they're working, both of them, I guess, are working on this big college paper.
Right.
And or they're writing a book, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Steven thinks that the whole Blair Witch mythos is just horse shit. Tristan thinks that there's like some elements of truth to the myth. So they want to get to the... Why would they bring all of their research out on a camping trip? They brought like volumes of books and all these research papers.
It was in the script.
Well, yeah. I mean, clearly, we saw it, so.
Yeah. That'd be, I don't know.
That's dumb.
I'd leave that shit at home.
I'd leave it in the hotel, at least, yeah. If you feel the need to bring it with you.
Right.
I don't know why you would do that, but they brought all of their research with them. So
to the site.
Why? And that's like an extra 85 pounds you got to carry up and down these hills in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, dude. Which brings me to another point. You got two guys and three chicks. There had to have been at least 300 pounds worth of cameras and camping equipment. When they're unloading the van and Jeffrey's pulling all the stuff off.
Yeah.
What do you got, like a pack mule that you brought somewhere?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it's just like 3-4 miles up the hill. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, somebody's going to die on the way up there. They're not making it. All right, anyway. Cool little party montage. They're all getting fucked up and trying to get in each other's pants. Then out of nowhere, they start hearing sounds out in the woods. What's that? What's going on? I don't know. They grab the camera and they're like, what's going on? Here comes another tour group.
Yeah.
These fucking assholes. It's Blair Witch Walk. Dog.com.
Right.
And apparently they've pulled permits and all this stuff. And, okay, let me see your permits. They're in the car. Where's your permits? It's in my car. So here comes a little pissing match between these two tour groups. But the Blair Witch Walk group is like two Japanese people, one German lady, and then the two fuckface tour guides.
Right.
So eventually they kind of give them the okey-doke. They're like, oh, God, we can't. You just let us stay until the sun comes up. We're so scared. Something really scary happened at Coffin Rock today.
That was so cool that they did that. I was like, yeah, they fell for it.
Of course they did. Of course
they did. I was like, that is awesome. And then when the chick just added into it, it's like, oh, yeah, you got him.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, the other tour people are like, oh, we need to go to Coffin Rock right now. Let's go. Let's go.
I didn't spend $2,500 not to see it.
So the Blair Witch Walk group goes down to Coffin Rock, while the Blair Witch Hunt group stays there at the Rustin Parr ruins. And again, the party kicks into high gear. Now fucking shirts are coming off and stuff like that. More booze and weed and pipes are getting passed around. Yeah, cool little montage. Eventually, Kim kind of walks off by herself. Now, she is like exhibiting psychic abilities. Like, for example, she knows that Tristan is pregnant. She was never told that. She also says something to Jeffrey about, oh, they never should have let you out of the mental hospital. You're a fruitcake.
Yeah.
She couldn't have known that. So she's kind of got like a little psychic to her. Very cool. Kim walks off and like kind of crashes, lays down for a second. She sees an owl up in the tree looking down at her. And then they wake up the next morning.
I didn't understand that. I know they showed the owl for a reason. Like it was supposed to be something. But it was like, what?
I thought they just found an owl. They're like, oh, get the owl. It's a cool owl. Yeah. Anyway, they wake up the next morning and it's snowing confetti on them.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck happened? They all get up. They're all hungover and shit. And they realize the confetti snowstorm is actually all the research papers that Stephen and Tristan brought with them. They've been shredded and thrown into the wind.
That's what you get.
Yeah. And they're like, what the fuck happened? Oh, it's all of our research. No. And then Jeffrey's like, I'll just get my cameras together and we'll see what happened. But now he looks and realizes all of his cameras are smashed to shit. What the fuck happened to my cameras? No. And they're all drawing their own conclusions. That other tour group, man, they came back here and they wrecked our shit, man. And at this point, Kim is like, well, they didn't get the tapes. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? She's like, the tapes are still here. And they're like, oh, you're psychic again, are you? Okay there, Fruit Loop. She's like, no, they're right here in the underneath the rocks here. Like, okay, jack off. I see what you're doing. That's where they found the original Blair Witch tapes.
Right.
So now you're trying to freak us out with this. And she's like, no, go look if you don't believe me, you fuckers. So they pull some rocks back out of the foundation, and sure as shit, there's a bag with all the cassette tapes and the hard drives and all that shit. So they're like, oh, whoa, okay, how did you know that? I don't know. So now they're trying to figure out what to do. Steven and Tristan are royally pissed off. Tristan, before she woke up, she had a dream that she walked into a creek and with a little blanket under her arm, and then she held the blanket under the water. And a bunch of blood came out of the blanket. Mm-hmm. And then there was like a little foot came out of the water there for a second. Like, hey, you just killed your baby. Look at you. Look at you, you piece of shit.
Yeah. You just smooth move, X-Lax.
These swimming lessons didn't go the way that you had intended. No.
That's not how you baptize.
I don't think you're supposed to hold it down.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. Shit. This baby is not buoyant. This is a sinker. You asked for a floater, and this one sank right to the bottom. Somebody should probably get it out of there. Jeffrey's like, okay, dudes, well, I'll tell you what, let's just go back to my place. I got some cool editing stuff, and we'll just put all this footage together, find out what happened. Okay, they get to Jeffrey's house. Jeffrey's house is an abandoned shoe factory. which is pretty cool. It's he said he convinced the state to sell it to him for a dollar. I would totally live in that place.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was fucking
tits. It was dope.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You guys, like a little bridge.
Two stories.
Yeah. There's like a little, the entrance is on the second story, but there's like a moat or something to get to it.
Uh-huh.
You got to go over this bridge, and then it's just a big giant warehouse pretty much. But he's got it all tricked out on the inside.
Yeah.
He's basically got a J-Mart operation,
mm-hmm.
same thing that Jason does, where he buys stolen shit and yeah. resells it. Not that Jason does that, but...
If he did,
it's
just like what he has.
Just find him on eBay. Yeah. He's got some savings to pass on to you.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's what he does, and he's got, like, this cool AV set up with all this equipment and hardware and software. Got his own little bedroom. Before they go there, though, they go to the hospital. Tristan was, because that's the when they get the fuck out of the campsite, is because Tristan starts bleeding. And they get her to the hospital. She miscarried. Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Steven didn't know she was pregnant. Fucking fuck. They get her back to Jeffrey's place because she's not ready to travel yet. So Steven and Tristan just kind of go and up to the bedroom and lay down for a little bit. Erica, Kim, and Jeff start working on the videos and all that shit, trying to get it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat, we got some weird shit going on. For starters, an owl flies right through one of the windows and dies in the living room area. That freaks Erica right out. She's like, oh, the spirits of nature are not happy with us. We brought something back with us. Ah. Very scary stuff.
See, it's another owl.
It's another owl. I don't know if that was an owl. It might have been a fucking... cockatoo or a toucan, possibly a pigeon, any type of bird, really. I don't know. I didn't see its markings, buddy.
Mm.
And I'm not a bird expert. Don't judge me.
It was probably a cock or two.
It was definitely a cockatoo. Yellow-breasted warble, I believe. You're stupid. All right. Anyway. Now everybody's starting to freak out. Jeffrey is working on the thing. Now they're starting to realize that they got somehow like scarred up in the woods. Jeffrey like lifts up his shirt and he's got like these weird runes scratched into him.
Yeah.
Kim has one on her shoulder. Erica's got one on her arm. Steven's got a couple like on his midsection. It's pretty gnarly, and they're like, oh, we got must have bumped into something. They're not really talking to each other about it, though, because everybody's, like, silently pointing fingers at everybody else about who fucked up all the shit. So, at this point, if I'm Kim or Erica, now's a good time for me to walk the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not my research. I don't give a shit. Sorry about your cameras, bro, but I paid you for the... Blair Witch Hunt, and you provided it to me, and now I will be on my merry way.
Mm-hmm.
Sad thing is, I don't think either one of those two had anywhere to go in particular, so now they're just kind of stuck there with Jeffrey in the abandoned shoe factory. Things start getting weirder as the day goes on. For starters, the Tristan starts having like these nightmares where she's basically being persecuted as Ellie Kedwards, the Blair Witch. And she gets up and she's all frantic and running around and doing little spinnies on the bed and stuff. And she's explaining to Steven about how the Baker boys moved the body after. So if we're gonna do the deep dive here, we got to look at the mythos of the original Blair Witch Project. So Ellie Kedwards was the original Blair Witch of Blair. Children started disappearing around the village of Blair, so she was banished as a witch, but she was just taken out into the woods, tied to a tree, and left there over the winter. Now, when they went back during the spring thaw, she was just gone. Now, what we're adding to that is via Tristan's weirdo nightmare sequences that we don't actually get to see, is that after they left her there, this group of kids, the Baker boys, or Baxter, I think, went back and then stabbed her and moved the body. So she was actually murdered. She wasn't just left there to die of exposure. But after that, they like dip their hands in her blood and put the handprints on her dress, and then that's kind of how we left it. So mm-hmm. that's cool. From there, like Steven gets all freaked out and he goes downstairs and like he's venting to Erica about how she's freaking out. How couldn't she tell me about the baby? And then we get like a bananas little we're about to fuck hallucination that's shared between the two of them. Where, like, Erica gets up and, like, straddles him, and then they start making out, and she starts pulling his shirt off, and then she, like, digs claws into his chest, but then they both snap out of it at the same time, and they're sitting on opposite sides of the tables. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck was that? I don't know. It was crazy.
But they both vision the same thing, though.
They have shared hallucination.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to have a shared hallucination, let's one of us hallucinate some condoms, because that was about to get a little frisky sweet pea. About that time, we get a phone call from the sheriff, Sheriff Craven. Now, since we're already doing the deep dive, the sheriff of Burkittsville is a character named Ronald Craven. Now, if you watch the original Finding the Blair Witch mockumentary on the Sci-Fi Channel, the guy doing all the press conferences was a completely different actor, but he was portraying a character named Sheriff Ronald Craven.
Mm.
So this can be considered canon to the franchise, even though it kind of doesn't feel like it. So that it's a completely different actor. But this Sheriff Ronald Craven – so here's a fun fact for you about this movie. Or not so fun fact, really. The director, Joe Berlinger, also directed the first Paradise Lost documentary. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-mm.
So it's about the West Memphis Three. It's called Paradise Lost, The Murders at the Robin Hood Hills.
Hmm.
And the character that he wrote here for Sheriff Ronald Craven is based on Mark David Byers, who was one of the parents of one of the kids murdered supposedly by the West Memphis Three.
Hmm.
So if you see those two like back to back or like see a comparison,
uh-huh.
they look spot on and they act exactly the same too.
Oh, wow.
So that's an interesting thing. This guy's crazy and he hates Jeffrey and he's like, turn on the goddamn TV, son. So Jeffrey turns it on and fucking A, if we didn't just find the dead bodies of the other tour group out in the woods, buddy.
Yeah.
All bound together and beat the fuck up and with occult markings carved into their faces. Now, a little inaccuracy here. In this movie, they were posed like a pentagram because there was five of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept saying they were posed just like the bodies at Coffin Rock from the 1800s. That's not exactly accurate because the Coffin Rock bodies were tied hands to feet, hands to feet, hands to feet. So they were like staggered. There was no pentagram there. Not that I'm keeping track of this shit.
Hmm.
I just did a deep dive. So he's like, I knew you was going to kill somebody eventually, you little peckerhead. And Jeffrey's like, hey, fuck off, Sheriff. I didn't kill anybody. But I'm putting my video evidence together here and I'm going to figure out who did. He's like, just don't leave town, you little shit, and keep those other kids there with you. So, okay, now shit just got real, because there's a bunch of dead bodies out in the woods, and it looks like somebody in this group is going to get, it's going to get pinned on them. So they continue to try to piece together the video footage. Eventually, they get it all like into a kind of a timeline situation,
mm-hmm.
but there's a big time gap in the middle of it. It goes to like 1:20 in the morning where they're all getting hammered and dancing around like idiots. And then it jumps to like 3:30 in the morning. So there's like a 2-hour gap that's just not there. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey's got other equipment that he can use to try to find the missing piece or whatever it is. At one point, they get like a weird kind of a glitchy frame of somebody dancing around the tree. And by the way, the giant tree that we saw in the movie going through the middle of Rustin Parr's house mm-hmm. is now just like a little fucking twig that kind of sticks out like a stripper pole.
Yeah.
So how the hell did that happen? I don't know. But now they've got like a quick little glitch scene of somebody dancing around it. They slow it down, they enhance it, they slow it down again and enhance it again. God damn if it isn't Erica herself dancing around it backwards naked.
What?
She's like, what the shit is this? I never did that. And everybody's like, okay, fine. You did some kind of witchy shit. Mm-hmm. We don't remember you doing it. You clearly don't remember doing it, but does it mean anything? She's like, no, I don't know. Just leave me alone. Bah! And she runs downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
About that time, everybody's kind of freaked out, and they don't really want much to do with Erica because they think she put some kind of a curse on them, and maybe she snuck off and killed those other dudes. And that's kind of scary, too, because mm-hmm. if that little hot redhead can kill five people...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, using rocks and sticks and shit.
Yeah.
That's a whole other set of shit right there.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes down and tries to do, like, a cleansing ritual in the living room where she's just, like, lighting candles and, like, prostrating herself.
Earth, wind, and fire.
Yeah, over and over again.
Yeah.
And then eventually she just breaks down and starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
About this time, Kim is like, okay, everything here is completely fucked. I just got to get out of this place for a minute. So she borrows Jeffrey's van, and she's like, I'm going to go get some more beer. I'll be right back. So she gets in the van and goes back to that convenience store that we saw at the beginning of the movie. And again, everybody there is being a prick.
Oh, yeah.
And, okay, the guy that was trying to fix the freezer, he looked a lot like Rustin Parr. And the whole thing about Rustin Parr is that he was the one killing the kids in the 1940s. He had to kill seven of them. When he killed the seventh one, he walked into Burkittsville and just stood in the middle of town and said, I'm done, or I'm finally done, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
When Kim steps over him here in the convenience store, the guy says, I'm finally done now. And then she's like, okay. She has to, like, deal with a couple of fuck-faced kids on the porch. They're like, oh, I got something you could suck on, vampire girl.
Yeah.
Like, all right, fuckwad. She goes inside, and there's a fat lady there that has an entire shopping cart full of deviled ham. I don't know if that's a radical diet that she's going to try, but that stuff will run right through you, mm-hmm. like a Japanese bullet train. And if she's actually going to eat that much deviled ham, she better do it on the toilet, buddy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The chick at the...
she knew COVID was coming.
She did. I am going to diarrhea myself right through this motherfucker.
That's right.
I'm going to be 100 pounds with a huge set of tits when this is over. Start my OnlyFans business.
Woo. Holy hams business.
Holy hams. Look at me just eating deviled ham. Gross. I just grossed myself out. She gets a bunch of... The chick at the cash register is basically ignoring Kim when she gets up there with the beer that she bought. She gives her a bunch of shit, and then Kim, like, wads up, she's doing her nails. Kim wads up the money and throws it at her face.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, keep the change, motherfucker, and walks out.
It's like she was waiting, you know, like, oh, she's going to steal something, so I'm going to flip that little switch so I'm recorded.
Yeah, exactly. When Kim gets back in the van and takes off.
The kids were gone.
Kids were gone, but as she's pulling out of the parking lot, one of them throws a rock through the back window of the van, breaks the window. She's like, you bitch! And then she takes off driving, and then she gets like quarter mile down the road, and a bunch of little kids in like 1920s looking clothes come mm-hmm. out, and she like swerves to miss them and clips a tree. Does a little damage to the front fender, but that's it. Continues back to Jeffrey's place, gets there with the beer. It's like, hey, some kids came out in the woods. I did a little damage to the front fender of your van. He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. Doesn't think much of it. Everybody kind of chills out for the night, and then the next morning they wake up, and Erica is missing. Poof. Vanished into thin air.
Mm-hmm.
But her clothes and her shoes and all of her jewelry are laid out nicely on the living room carpet. So apparently she took off all of her clothes and just ran off into the woods.
Hey.
Whatever you're into, sweetie. I could have swore she was a werewolf. God damn it. Now everybody's freaking out. Where's Erica? I don't know. What the fuck? What did you do to her? What? I didn't do anything. What did you do to her? Everybody's really freaked out now. They're trying to put, they're still, as this is happening, and they're trying to figure out what the fuck happened to Erica. They're still working on the footage, trying to figure out what happened that night.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, they do some weird shit, and through his audio visual setup, they find the gap of the missing footage, and they kind of like slow it down and take a look at it. And at this point, it's just Jeffrey, Kim, and Steven, because Tristan is still like bedridden and she's refusing to leave, and you know, with the miscarriage and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching the footage, and oh boy, there, buddy, things got a little wild at the at the Rust and Parr party. Mm,
sure did.
Woo! I gotta get sign me up for that. I'll take a spin
put your,
on
put your keys in the jar.
I'll take a spin on that fun train. With the missing time gap there, basically what it shows is them partying, them dancing, things get pretty weird,
mm-hmm.
Clothes starts coming off, they all get naked, except for Kim, who was the only one that I wanted to get naked.
Right.
And then Tristan, like, hops up, and she's doing, like, a witch's, like, she's got, like, a wand, and she's, like, commanding them, go, go, and they're all, like, kind of worshiping Tristan. Yeah, there's no sound to this, so we don't know what exactly they're saying, but they're acting themselves a fool, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
She hands out knives. She's got a bunch of knives all of a sudden. And then she, like, gets them all whipped up into a naked frenzy. And then she points them in the direction of the other tour group. And then they all go running off into the woods. Now, we have been quietly watching them kill the other tour group the whole time via these weird, violent snippets that they're throwing at us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty gnarly. But he come. By the time they get back, I guess they just put all their clothes on and crashed, because then the next thing they remember is waking up in the morning. So we also see them smashing all the cameras and ripping up all the research papers and just having a dandy of a time.
Yeah.
So I will go to the Rust and Parr rave party.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a condom on before I get there, because it's going in something. I don't know where I'm going to put it.
In the trunk of that tree.
Also, I'm going to put a butt plug in.
Yeah, you don't want nothing going in
Hey, I'm going to put it like a combination lock butt plug.
Yeah.
I'll remember it when I wake up what the combination is.
Chastity belt backwards.
There you go. I hid the key, and I will remember where I hid it in the morning, I hope.
Swallow it.
There's that. Now they're like, oh fuck, I don't remember any of this. When did that happen? I don't know. This is so fucked up. About this time is when Tristan comes out of her stupor, comes down, and she's like, Oh yeah. I told you guys what was gonna happen. Something came back with us. I've been communing with Ellie Kedwards. She showed me what really happened to her, and we're all fucked. And everybody's like, okay, Tristan, just calm down. Hey, by the way, do you know where Erica is? And no, she doesn't, but they think they keep seeing her, like, run around out in the woods through the windows, naked, of course. They run down there, and they're like, hey, Erica, where are you? I don't know. So at another point, the sheriff shows up and starts beating on the front door. So, hey, get you little peckerhead, get down here. Jeffrey goes down there and opens the door, but of course there's nobody there, mm-hmm. and the bridge is now collapsed. Fuck. Closes the door. Again, somebody else is beating on the door. Now Jeffrey pulls out a shotgun, and he's like, okay, whoa, everybody chill out. We're all highly caffeinated, and we've been smoking weed and drinking. Steven's like, Jeffrey, give me the shotgun, buddy. He takes the shotgun, goes to put it back in the closet that Jeffrey got it out of. Fuck me if there isn't Erica's dead body.
Mm-hmm.
Standing upright and naked, I guess rigor mortis is set in or something, so she can just stand up like that.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's fine. Or maybe she was secretly a mannequin the whole time.
Oh.
Didn't think about that. That's not a real person, man. It's one of those sex dolls. Like, oh shit, there's dead Erica. Oh fuck, now what's going on? I don't know. Alright, now Tristan comes down again, and now she's acting like a demure bitch. And she's like, huh, I warned you. I warned you all. Nobody listened to me. Ellie was there, and she made a sacrifice, and now you all are fucked. And everybody's like, dude, just calm down, all right? Calm down. Just tell us what happened to Erica. And they're going back and forth, and Jeffrey grabs a camera, and he's filming this whole kind of pseudo-interrogation thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no. She goes up to the top of the factory and basically puts a noose around her neck. Why is there a noose hanging from the top of the factory to begin with? I don't know. I'm not going to ask these questions. And then she steps to the ledge, and Steven grabs her, but then, like, he, like, was pissed off about the miscarriage. It looked like he shoved her, but it looked like it was mostly an accident. You know what I mean? Like, she kind of jerked back, and he, like, whoa, oh, and then she just swung and snapped her neck, and then that was the end of Tristan.
Right.
Now, finally, the sheriff has enough evidence to come and arrest Jeffrey on the suspicion of him killing the other tour group. So they come and they arrest Jeffrey and Steven and Kim. They take him into custody. Once they get into custody, all their weird rune carving markings, they all vanish.
They're all gone.
All of the we get a lot of questions and, you know, interrogation stuff. What'd you kill those kids for? And she's like, I didn't kill anybody. We look at all the videotape, and we see Kim going into the
what really happened.
Yeah, what really happened. When Kim went to buy the beer, she didn't just yell at Peggy, the chick,
and throw the money.
She grabbed her and stabbed her to death with her own nail file.
Yeah, whack, 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 whack.
Everybody's like, I never did that. What the fuck is this? And they're asking Steven, like, hey, why did you kill your girlfriend, dude? Was it because of the miscarriage? It's like, I didn't kill her. Oh, wait, Jeffrey was recording the whole thing. Look at the fucking tape. So they pop the tape in, and they basically see, like, a public lynching of Tristan.
Yeah.
As Steven is putting the noose around her neck and shoving her off the ledge. That just never happened. What the hell? You fucked with this tape. You're like, no, actually, we didn't, and you all are murderers. Mm-hmm. So, and that's pretty much the end of your movie.
Yeah.
And it begs the question, did the Blair Witch, like, take control of them, or take control of Tristan, who then took control of them and commanded them to do this, or were they all just hammered and drunk? And, I mean, I've been plenty drunk in my day, and there are some blank spots, but it's usually just like me pissing on somebody's car or something like that. Never to the point where I'm going to run through the woods naked. That's usually when I pump the brakes. Somebody
that you know of.
That I know of. That's true. There's no videotape.
There's no videotape, yeah.
A well-placed dude maintained goes a long way with the D-man. You know what I mean? At least I think so.
Yeah, but if there is one out there.
I am willing to purchase said videotape. We can keep that off the internet. That would be great. What did you think of Blair Witch Book of Shadows there, buddy?
I liked it.
I liked it.
Not as much as I did the first time around, but I mean, it's still a good watch.
Yeah. It's heavy on the late 90s aesthetic, which I look back on
definitely
favorably. Jeffrey Donovan with like the sweater with the t-shirt over it and the cutoff shorts with the boots. That was the late 90s, man.
Yeah.
I love that.
I wonder how popular that Burkittsville is.
Burkittsville.
Like, you know, are people like going there still?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Horror doofuses like
just
us.
Like people going to Forks for Twilight, wondering if glitter sales have gone up.
I'm sure it has.
Oh, look, there's glitter.
Oh, I'm a vampire.
Yeah, poof.
I'm going to be vacuuming this out of my hair later.
That's right.
Now, one thing I can tell you for sure is that the Welcome to Burkittsville sign as you drive in has been stolen so many times, they just stopped replacing it.
Oh, yeah.
Probably by horror doofuses like us.
Mm-hmm.
I dig it, man. I was highly disappointed with it the first time I saw it, but I've learned to love it because there's a lot there that I really enjoy. Now, first and foremost, we go back to the Black Hills of Burkittsville, which is where the first one took place, and is kind of crucial to the whole story.
Yeah, and the person even going to the corner, and facing the opposite way, like, you know, where the ending of the first one was.
Yeah, that's where they found Erica.
Yeah.
Facing
and they even the referenced that, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, guess where I am?
Nobody puts dead Erica in a corner.
In a corner, yeah.
I dig it because I just like the general feel of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. It feels – watching it carefully and looking for things, you realize that this could be a continuation of the Blair Witch story and fit into the mythos.
Right.
Because it never actually acknowledges the first film as fiction.
Right.
I would say that I like this more than the 2016 Blair Witch.
Oh, yeah.
Having rewatched that one, I'm not as mad at it, but they did a lot of weird shit that I didn't care for at all. So there's that. I say check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
Where did you watch this one on?
Ooh. Was it Prime? Freevee?
Freevee?
Yeah.
Right on. Check that out. I got Libro de los Hombros. So. Oh, stop.
Stop. Whoa. I got to change my pants.
Ew. Let's take us a break there, panties.
I'm not going to let anybody stop me. We'll be right back.
you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back, buddy. Oh, boy. It's that time.
Yes.
Three on a meat hook.
Three on a meat hook.
We are putting an end to Witch Month here in the Padded Room.
Yeah.
So it's time we gave you our top three witch movies, buddy. Are you ready?
I am.
How about, what do you got at number three?
Number three, Witches of Eastwick.
Witches of Eastwick. You really like that one?
I really like this movie.
Okay. Why?
Yeah, I think it's just Jack Nicholson in general, though, just his, like, the devil montage.
And, I don't understand.
And three hot ladies. I mean, man.
I'll give you the three hot ladies. I don't understand the appeal of Jack Nicholson in this movie.
And
he's just like a slug of a human being. You know what I mean?
He is. I love the cherry scenes.
The cherry scene was good.
Man, I mean, I don't know. Just when I watch this film, it's like, it's really cool. They show each separate person, and then all of a sudden they all start uniting.
Yeah.
And they're going crazy over this Jack Nicholson guy who's, you know, the devil.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just absolutely love this film.
To a point where they just all decide to be okay with him fucking all three of them.
Hey, you know what? More power to him.
I mean, I've been pretty hot for some chicks, but like never to the point where, oh, you're going to go fuck Buddy and my other friend, Jeff. Okay, I'm out. You
know what I mean? I don't think of other dudes, but how cool would it be to have three chicks?
Oh, I'd be exhausted. Fuck that, man.
Although, if that time of the month starts sinking,
which it will,
yeah,
I will book myself an Airbnb somewhere far, far away.
Yeah.
My number three is a movie, German movie called Hagazusa. Have you heard of
it? Oh, yes. Yeah. That's a good one.
It's a very slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're getting into. That last 5 minutes is a suck right to the fucking taint.
Yeah.
I get it. She's pissed at the village. I would be too. They did her dirty.
Yeah, you told me about this film and I watched it. I was like, whoa.
The lengths that she goes to get her revenge.
Oh, man.
And then at the end, you got to just
kind of... Immoral.
Yeah. You got to wonder if, like, the village just didn't kind of fuck itself, or the peeing in the water supply.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't, was it really necessary to do
that?
What she did,
right?
I hope so. I hope it wasn't just because she's maybe fucking crazy. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Or you just might be a nutsack. I don't know.
Ooh, that's a rough one.
Put that on the shelf of good movies that I only need to watch once
a year.
You know, maybe not even that. I sat through it one time. I think I'm good. It made enough of a mark on me to where I will remember it and I'll recommend it to friends. Okay. But at the same time, hey, I'll catch up with you in a little while.
Yeah.
All right. How about number two, buddy?
Rosemary's Baby.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about this film. I really like it.
I don't. I don't like it, man. I'm sorry. Everybody expunges the virtues of Rosemary's Baby to me, and I'm like, it's just fucking boring.
It's slow.
It's slow as shit. Really, all you got to do is stop answering the door. I've said it before. I'm sorry. And I know. Oh, the sense of foreboding. Yo, they're creeping in and they're invading her life. She's letting them. Stop answering the fucking door. You're done. You know?
You sound like Shaggy right there.
Oh, gee, Scoop. Don't let them in your apartment.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm not a big Roman Polanski guy. Yeah. I think that
I get it.
Yeah, he's got a very distinct style, and if it works for you, it's great.
Yeah.
I didn't like The Ninth Gate all that much either.
Oh, see, I love that movie too.
I thought it was way too fucking long, you know. And
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, but still, it's a lot of him thumbing through books. All right. Anyway, My number two, Lords of Salem.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I like it. I know a lot of people don't. I like it more for the... Well, first off, this is the first time Rob Zombie has stepped largely out of White Trash Town, because you know, we all know that's where he loves to stay. Mm-hmm. And there were some trashy elements about it, but for the most part, he kept it classy for this one. The visual aesthetic of it, like the abstract art variations, the montage of the fucking ball sack montages, mm-hmm. Pope midgets being jerked off by goat men. It's a whole thing. And I know a lot of people say, well, there's no storyline there. There is. It's not very original or, you know, complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But Sherry Moon Zombie's apartment, just that alone has got my attention, mm-hmm. you know. You do get to see her fully nude mm-hmm. in this movie also, I rather enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
As a film critic, I will give that a thumbs up. How about number one, Big Dog?
Number one for me, I like Witching and Bitching.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, I forgot about that one. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
I never wanted to be a broomstick so much in my
God. Life. I actually love this movie.
What are you doing with that broomstick, young lady? Don't let me interrupt you. You keep doing right? it, but we're going to talk about it later.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And it's surprisingly funny.
It is. It's actually a good one.
Yeah, comedic elements. My number one, the classic Suspiria.
Oh, yeah. I thought about that one.
Probably the best of the Three Mothers trilogy. You don't know...
Original or the remake?
Oh, the original. I cannot... Yeah. Tolerate the fucking remake.
I still have not seen the remake.
It's 3.5 hours long, buddy. There's one scene.
I think that's why I haven't seen it.
Dude, and it is like 99% dancer drama and 1% witchcraft.
Oh.
And I guess I wouldn't be as mad at it if the big... So they take it in a whole other direction. They're practicing this ritualistic dance because that's how you summon the devil, which right. is what they're trying to do. The whole thing is them making sure, you know, choreographing all the shit. And there's one scene that's really kick-ass. That's where the chick pretzels herself. But I guess my disappointment at the big dance number at the end, which I thought was kind of lackluster.
Oh.
For all the build-up for it, I thought it was like 90% dresses swooshing around. And
bummer.
Watch the original.
Okay.
The original is...
I've seen the original. I like the original.
The original is pretty good. Maggot Storm.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Right in the middle of your dance. You want some eyeball trauma? I got that, too.
Yeah.
You want to see a chick get impaled and then hung through a glass ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
I could do that. I got it all for you right there in Suspiria. All
right.
That's my favorite.
All right.
We would like to know what your top three witch movies are, inmates. Get to us by next week if you can. We're going to be starting zombie month here in the padded
room. Yes.
All April long. Nothing but zombies.
Yeah, I wonder what your guys' favorite zombies are.
Yeah.
Zombie movies.
Let's start with the witch movies. Let's do that. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let us know what your top three witch movies are, inmates. Mental Health Hotline is, of course, area code 775-387-0275. Or you get us on the regular old email. Just go to paddedroompodcast.com. Hit the contact link and let us know. In the meantime, we got to tell you what movies we got to watch this week in a little segment called What Are You Looking At?
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking at?
Ghostbusters, 1984, buddy.
Dude.
Watched it with the kids. They loved it.
Yeah?
They have decreed that we will be Ghostbusters for Halloween this year.
Sick!
So that's what we're doing.
Nice.
Rolled that right into Ghostbusters 2 from 1989. It's not bad. It's not the worst thing ever. Viggo the Carpathian.
Yeah.
The painting, the pink sludge.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not as good as the original, obviously.
I know. The original is just awesome.
You got the whole crew coming back, you know. There's some plot holes that are there.
Right.
But it's fine. for what it is. Mm-hmm. Rolling that right into Ghostbusters Afterlife from 2020.
Mm-hmm.
How do you watch that and not get a little weepy at the end?
Oh, I know.
When Ghost Egon shows
up.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, fucking, I'm a tough guy.
I actually love that movie. I was like, oh, thank God they're bringing, you know, something back from the original.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And then went to the movie theaters and saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire from 2024.
And?
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
I wanted to see it with you guys. I just couldn't.
I know. I will say that it's okay.
Okay, compared to the last one that came out, Afterlife.
I'm going to say it's not as good as Afterlife.
Bummer.
It felt very much like a kid's movie, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not. I don't want to ruin it for you.
Right, because it's new. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a new character that comes in, and he can do some really weird stuff, and I think that's kind of silly.
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that.
Right. I get it.
I'm not mad at it, but it's
worth a watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Why not? It's got what's her
Sigourney?
No Sigourney. Annie Potts.
Oh.
Janine Melnitz. Whatever her name is.
Okay.
So she's fun. The original three are back.
Good.
Plus all the kids from the Afterlife. Yeah. Paul Rudd. Has he ever made a movie that we didn't like?
I know. I wish somehow Ryan Reynolds would get into that.
Oh, I'm sure they're working on that as we speak.
That'd be awesome. He makes everything good.
Of course. And lastly, A Ghost Story from 2017. Have you seen this one?
No.
A24? Casey Affleck as a guy that gets killed in a car accident. I know. It's kind of a weird thing, dude. It's basically he's a ghost and he literally wears the sheet with the two holes in it.
Oh,
and he just kind of hangs out in his old house.
Easy money.
I mean, nobody can see him. His girlfriend is there, and then like she's a widow, so she moves away, and then another family moves in. And he scares the crap out of them, so they move away. And then this other people move in. And eventually the house gets torn down.
Does it ever explain why he's wearing the sheet?
No. We just have to assume that that's what ghosts do. Because the house across the way is also haunted. And there's a ghost over there with a sheet with the holes in it. And they can, like, talk to each other and stuff. And then eventually he goes back in time to Old West. And then he comes full circle back to when he was alive. But he's still a ghost haunting himself.
Huh.
And then
that actually sounds interesting.
It's fascinating. It paints a very bleak picture of what it would be like to be a ghost.
Yeah.
You're basically just standing around.
If I came back to haunt myself, that would be very damn freaky.
Oh, I would just scare the living crap out of myself.
Yeah.
And I would probably...
Because you'd know everything that would scare you.
Oh, yeah. But eventually I'd be like, oh, I'm beating off again.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. I didn't realize I did it that much.
Yourself, ghost would catch you beating off to something. Look at the screen. Oh, I'm going to beat off too.
Now we're both beating off.
Beating off together.
You think we can beat each other off?
Stupid.
No, you're dead. Oh, shit. I don't even have a dick.
Wait a minute. I'm 1%.
All right. Fuck.
All right.
It's weird. It's a weird movie, man. I think I found it on HBO Max.
Okay.
Worth a watch. Not really scary, but it's got like some interesting ghost ideas.
Okay.
Worth checking out. That's all I'm looking at, buddy. What do you got?
I just checked out last night Eve from 2023.
Is that the one with the babysitter? Eve.
No, it's the one where she picks up this necklace. It's I want to say a foreign film, but it's not really foreign because it's actually in English, but it's like a Norwegian film.
Oh, okay.
So she picks up this necklace and just goes crazy. And they do like these flashbacks, and then she's like years later with her brother, and she has this memory of her dad dying, trying to save them. But there's actually a whole other story behind it because of this necklace makes her see something weird, and she's actually kind of weird. I don't want to spoil too much in case you decide to watch it. It was good, but it's a very slow burn.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you liked it all around?
I liked it. I would give it maybe a 6.
Okay. Very cool. That's all you're looking at?
Yep. That's all I got a chance to watch. All
right. How about some immersion therapy, hot dog?
Yeah.
Immersion Therapy.
You get a chance to check out The Elevator from 2023.
Yeah, it's nothing like I thought it was going to be.
It's not very good.
No, acting was terrible.
Low budget as shit. Acting was bad. Special effects were bad.
You get to see her boobs, though.
And I'm going to tell you, Chrissy Wuna just made her way into my celebrity fuck list. I'll bang the crap out of her.
With a bag over her head?
Oh, come on. No?
No.
Banging body.
Yeah.
I thought, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some good news for you.
What?
She actually has an OnlyFans account. So I did some research.
Only hams? Or
no. I don't think there's any ham products involved that I know of. Don't quote me on that. It's a
That's
bad
funny
movie.
She has her OnlyFans. That's funny.
Yeah, I did. I checked her out on Twitter. She pictures of herself naked on there all over the place.
Wow.
I want to fuck her. I can tell you that. Other than that, the movie was pretty shitty. Especially that ending where, like, the CGI devil get up and, I am as old as time. This is
yeah,
my...
I knew it was that guy, though.
Of course. Yeah. So he's the one that got to bang her, so that's how that works out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you to avoid The Elevator from 2023. But if you want to check Chrissy Wuna out, she does get naked in it. And you can also look her up online and find pictures of her doing...
Everything.
All kinds of things.
Wow.
I'm not going to subscribe to her OnlyFans. I refuse to do that. What do you got for us this week, buddy?
All right. This week, let's check out 1983's The Dead Zone. This is a man that awakens from a coma to discover that he has psychic ability to foresee future events. Yeah. And you'll find this gem on Prime.
Check that shit out, inmates. We'll do the same and compare notes next week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you must educate me.
Educating Miss Monica.
First, my clues from last week. Well, I bought myself a lakefront house. It's awesome. I couldn't really afford it, so I'm going to rent it out as an Airbnb. I'm not going to tell anybody that it's haunted. They'll kind of figure that out on their own. Unfortunately, there is a murder for hire plot happening during this particular rental, and I just happened to walk back in the middle of it, and now we got all kinds of fucking problems, and the place is still haunted. I'm talking about Home with a View of the Monster. Buddy, have you seen it?
Nope.
Definitely worth a watch.
Really?
I liked it a lot. I think it's streaming on Tubi presently. Let me just see if it's on there or not. Pretty good show. All the way around.
Yeah, Freevee, Plex, Prime, Roku. Yeah.
All over the place. Check that shit out if you're interested.
It got a 4.2.
It did not get the best reviews. I don't know why, but I have a weird soft spot for certain movies. Like I Am Zozo, for Christ's sake. I think that's in the 2.0 range. I love the shit out of that movie.
Right.
I don't know why, I just do. Who might I be this week, you ask? Well, buddy, me and my co-workers were hired to do some asbestos removal of a abandoned building that's about to be torn down. We get in there, we start taking shit apart and fighting amongst ourselves, as we are wont to do. And it turns out this building is actually was a mental institution. One of my co-workers goes off and starts listening to these weird tapes he found. Our boss, like, starts disappearing and reappearing. One of my coworkers just completely stopped showing up altogether, but then I find him wandering around the halls in a weird, dreamlike, dazed and confused state. I don't know what the hell happened to him. And, I think somebody is now taking us out one by one in this abandoned mental institution.
Mm-hmm.
Who might I be, you ask? Tune in next week, and I'll drop some knowledge on you, inmates. In the meantime, I think that's about going to do it for us. Thank you very much for joining us here in the Padded Room for Witch Month. Join us next week as we kick off Zombie Month with Flesh Eater from 1988.
Yes!
Oh, we got some stuff to get into there, buddy. Like, comment, subscribe, of course, wherever you found this show. That'll help our visibility if you have time. Also have a Patreon campaign running. If you feel like making a little donation, just head over to paddedroompodcast.com. You'll find all the links and information you need about us over there. Buddy, you got anything else on the week, amigo?
No.
For Buddy, Jason in absentia, witches everywhere, the broomsticks that they ride, and how bad I want to be one of them. Horror starlets that also have OnlyFans pages that I am adamantly refusing to subscribe to, although...
It's tempting.
If the wife is out of town and I get a couple of beers in me, the debit card might just pop right out of that wallet. And the Padded Room Podcast, I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye and have a great week.